The scripture reading this evening is Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the text is Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4. Therefore, my beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. The text this evening is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain passages in the Bible, certain verses in the Bible, that are so helpful to the child of God and so clear in telling us how we need to act or how we need to think, that these verses really need to be committed to memory and stored away deep in our hearts and our minds. So that whenever we need specific instruction from God's Word or whenever a difficult situation arises, we can immediately turn to these passages of Scripture without even opening up our Bibles. And we can use these passages to guide us in our actions, in our thoughts, and in our attitudes. I suppose that over the years, as the child of God continues to walk with the Lord, that collection of verses that He has stored up in His memory bank gets bigger and bigger. So that by the end of our life, sometimes we have a whole repertoire of Bible verses at hand to guide us for whatever situation we find ourselves in. Well, if we were to attempt to write down some of the verses that we would include, some of the verses that we really ought to commit to memory, in my mind, the passage we look at this evening is one of the first passages I would write down. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a passage with an exhortation we constantly need. And it's a passage with a promise that we also constantly need. This evening for our prayer day service, through the work of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, my desire is that these words of the text be impressed upon you as forcefully as possible. Praying is hard work. Sometimes, perhaps even often, we neglect to pray. Sometimes in the midst of our trials and our anxieties, we can say to ourselves, what's prayer really going to do in this situation? Perhaps even in the midst of perplexing situations, we can say, or we're tempted to say, it's not as simple as this, Pastor. It's not as simple as simply praying about it. Perhaps in the midst of our anxieties, we're tempted to say, I'm not strong enough to pray right now. My worries are simply too great and they are consuming me. And maybe to a certain degree, that's true. And then maybe we need to remember the words, the exhortation that James gives us when he says, whoever's sick among you, let him call for the elders, that they might pray over him. Maybe we need to call for the elders to pray over us. And then maybe we need to ask others to pray for us also. But what I want to emphasize to you tonight is this. These words tonight are not just the words of a mere man. This is not just the Apostle Paul himself speaking from a personal point of view and who found that a rich prayer life, constantly praying, was helpful for him in his own personal situation, locked up in prison. No, this is the word of the Lord. When you are anxious, pray. This is the command God gives to every one of His children, no matter their unique situation. Pray. Pray, and my peace will guard and protect your heart and your mind from anxiety, from being full of cares through Christ Jesus. Beloved, this is the word of your Savior. This is the word of the one who has created you, who's formed and fashioned your own heart and your own mind, who knows you better than you know yourself, and the inner workings of your heart and minds better than you know them yourself. This is the exhortation of the one who has ordained all the events in your life. He knows what will work for you. He knows what you need to work for you. This is the exhortation of the one who is perfectly wise, who in love gives you His commandments. He is the God who never lies, who cannot lie. And He says, pray. and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the response we must have is this: let God be true, but every man a liar. I must trust in God, and I will trust in God by living according to this promise also. I will pray. So we have an exhortation and encouragement this evening to pray. We take as our theme, when anxious, pray. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, the real anxiety. Second, the needed prayer. And third, the promised result. When anxious, pray. As we look at the passage, perhaps a point of clarification needs to be made. Because we read right away at the beginning of verse 6, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Maybe you children say to yourself, that doesn't make sense to me. I thought it was a good thing for me to be careful. After all, my parents tell me to be careful all the time. They tell me to be careful when I'm doing my chores at home. They tell me to be careful when I'm doing my homework or when I'm memorizing my catechism. My parents tell me to be careful when I'm playing sports and when I'm out with my friends. Well, that's not what the word careful means in the text before us. Truly, when our parents tell us to be careful with our homework, with our catechism work, or in sports, that's a good thing. Even for parents, it's a good thing to be careful. We, as adults, need to be careful in carrying out the responsibilities God has given us. We need to carry them out with care. Even when it comes to the future, in a certain sense, we have to be careful. What does Solomon say in Proverbs 6, verse 6? He says, go to the ant. Let the ant be your example. For as he prepares for the winter, he works hard in the summer, that he might have something for the winter. Even here in this very chapter, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, what does Paul write? In Philippians 4, verse 10, he writes, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Paul is talking there about having a proper concern for what is doing for doing what is pleasing to the Lord. He's talking about our responsibility to be diligent stewards of the resources God has given us and be diligent stewards of the earthly callings He has given to us. But again, that's not what the word careful means in the text in verse 6. The word careful at the beginning of verse 6 means this: to be full of worries, to be full of anxieties, to be full of fears, to be full of cares. And that's a different idea than being responsible and being diligent stewards of what we've been given. The word careful in the passage means being full of worrying. God doesn't want us to worry. God doesn't want you to worry. It is not virtuous to worry. In Matthew 6, verse 25, Jesus uses the same word, using it with the exact same meaning, when he says in Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Don't be careful. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Jesus says, take no thought. Be careful for nothing, not for your food, not for your drink, not for the clothes that you might have to wear. Don't be full of worries. Don't have a morbid dread when it comes to the future. In another passage, in Luke 10, verse 41, Jesus uses the same word again when he speaks to Martha. In Luke 10, verse 41, when Jesus is at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Martha is working hard in the kitchen, she's all concerned about the meal. This is what Jesus says to Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She was frazzled. She was overwhelmed with all the work she had to do. She was concerned that supper wasn't going to turn out like she wanted it to turn out. And she was losing sight of what was more important, and she became agitated and gripped by anxiety. In the end, worry and anxiety have to do with our hearts and our minds. And you see that from what Paul writes at the end of verse 7 in the text, when he talks about the peace of God keeping our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Instead of worrying, Paul says, we must pray. And when we pray, God will keep and protect and guard our hearts and minds from the pitfalls, from the sin of worrying. Worry is when our hearts and our minds begin to interact in the wrong way. Worry is when in our hearts we begin to be afraid that we will not receive the things that we need. We will not receive the things that are good and that we think are good for us and that are good for our children. Worry is when we look to the future and we anticipate that the future is not what we actually need the future to be. Worry is the exact opposite of trusting in God. To worry is to try to rely upon ourselves for what we need. And realizing that we don't have the power to provide those things that we need ourselves. And it's that realization that causes us to be frustrated, causes us to be worried and anxious and resentful. We look to ourselves and we see that we can't do the things that we're depending on upon ourselves to do. We all know what worry and anxiety is from our own personal experiences. Who among us has not worried? Who among us has not been anxious? We do worry. We do become anxious. Very often, in fact, we do. And we do it with all kinds of different things. We do it when it comes to the crops for this coming year. The farmer entrusts his seed to the soil. He entrusts his life, his entire bank account to the soil. And then he looks to the sky and there's no rain. And he becomes concerned about his crops. How am I going to maintain my farm? How am I going to feed my family? The laborer is dependent upon the economy, but there's no work. How am I going to pay my bills? The enemy creeps into the church and deceives many, whether it's by means of false doctrine or worldly mindedness or by infighting. He causes disunity. He tries to get us to think that we can stand better on our own than with each other in unity. He was doing that with Euodias and Syntyche. And we begin to worry when we see that. I love the other families of the church that I would sacrifice myself and my heart's desires for them and for their good. But will they even profit from my sacrifices? I become worried then about a family in the church that is struggling. And we do it with our own families and our own homes and our own marriages. We worry about our husbands and our wives. How can I be a better husband to my wife? Maybe sometimes I feel that I'm not the kind of wife that my husband needs me to be. And I get anxious. Is this how it's supposed to be? We worry about our children. How will they turn out? Whom will they marry? Maybe we worry about the burdens in our own marriages. What's going to happen? Maybe there's sickness. Maybe there's cancer. Maybe there's an accident or a death in the family. Hard trials. How are we going to get through this? Maybe something that isn't just passing, but maybe even is going to be permanent for the rest of our lives. And this isn't just something that affects adults. It's something that affects children also. Children who worry about their parents, even as little children. How are our parents doing? They get bothered, and these are big issues for them. Maybe we worry about our grades at school. I want to do my best, but is it even going to be worth it? Is it going to be good enough? We worry about having friends. We worry about if our friends actually like us. Maybe as we get older, we worry about whether we will ever date or get married. And worry expresses itself in so many different ways. Some of us who get worried get depressed. I've heard it said before that anxiety and depression are twins. Where you see anxiety, it's not surprising you should see depression there. They go together. Some of us who get worried get agitated. We get frustrated and bitter and resentful because, again, we feel that everything depends upon us. Some of us who get worried lose all joy. In the context, in verse 4, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always be joyful. And the fact is, where there is no joy in life, where I'm not joyful, it's because I'm worried, probably, to one degree or another. Because joy drives out worry, and worry drives out joy. If you're not joyful in life, it's most likely because you're worried, you're anxious. In fact, in the first nine verses of this chapter, all the different things that Paul mentions are united together. They are all part of standing fast in the Lord, what he prays for them in verse 1. They're all part of spiritual stability. They all to go together. They're all necessary if we're going to be spiritually prosperous. And the fact is, being anxious is something that threatens that spiritual stability. And the fact is, being anxious is part of our sinful nature, isn't it? The reality is, when we are anxious and worried, what are we really anxious and worried about? In the end, we're anxious and worried about God. Because our worries have to do about the future, and therefore our worries have to do with the God who holds the future in His hand. And when we worry, this is what we are saying: God, I will not trust the future in Your hands. God, I will not commit my way, and I will not commit the way of my family entirely to Thee. Because I'm not so sure about You, God. I'm not so sure You have good things in store for me and my family. Because God, I have my wisdom, and You have Your wisdom, and my wisdom seems a whole lot better than Your wisdom. I think I know better than God here. God may have led me in this direction, but I buck against it. Because I simply don't see how this could turn out to my good. And then we see how sinful it is to worry. Because if only I could see how God was actually working all these things out for my good, my whole attitude would change. My whole attitude would be an attitude of peace and not agitation. But you see, it's not my place right now to see how God is working it all for my good. It's simply my place to trust. He says, trust me. My calling is to fulfill the promises that I've made to you. And he says, it's your calling to trust and to deny yourself for me. And you know what? This is how we often cover how sinful our anxiety and how sinful our worry actually is. We call it stress. That's a way in which we speak better of our sinful anxiety than we should. That's a euphemism. Just like we call about we talk about adulteries as having affairs. So we talk about anxiety and not trusting God as stress. And we can even become proud in the stresses that we carry. Look at all these burdens I have to carry. And instead of letting God carry my burdens, casting my burdens upon the Lord and giving Him the glory and giving Him the place as the one who can and will carry my burden for me, I try to take the glory for myself by being self-reliant, self-sufficient, trying to carry the burden myself. That's worry. And in the end, worry and anxiety, our everyday worries and anxieties, are a matter of ugly pride. I'm worried, I'm anxious, I'm agitated, all worked up because I'm proud. You see, I will not humble myself before God. I'm not living before the face of God depending upon Him. I will not acknowledge that I have absolutely everything from God and I stand entirely dependent upon God for every single thing in my life. And I will not acknowledge that God will supply all my needs, as you read at the end of the chapter. Because I need to supply some of my needs too. And I need to supply some of my children's needs too, instead of trusting God that He will supply my needs. And that's why I'm unstable. I'm unstable. Because I'm not trusting in God. If you're going to be stable in the tough times in life, it comes out of an absolute distrust of yourself, and it arises out of a total trust in the sovereign God of grace and power. And you see, congregation, that's the essence of humility. This is what humility is. I expect nothing. I demand nothing, because I know that by nature I deserve nothing. And then, congregation, when I actually get nothing and I am mistreated and others use me to get what they want and I don't get what I want, then I can say, I'm at peace with that. I'm at peace with that because I know that I deserve absolutely nothing anyways. But pride says this, I deserve more. I am worthy of more. My family deserves more. I deserve better. And then I get anxious. And that's why Paul says in the immediately preceding verse, verse 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Don't insist on getting what you think you rightfully deserve. Be happy with giving up your just due. Be humble. Be willing to lose for the sake that others might gain. That's exactly the mind of Christ. Don't be anxious, but be humble. That's modesty. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And God in His compassion and His love to us, and God in His desire that we be holy, and His desire that we enjoy Him, and we enjoy who He is, He says, I don't want you to worry. It is not virtuous to worry. As my child, I take offense. I take offense when you worry. And so what God says is this. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer is needed, God says. That's the antidote to stress, to worry, to anxiety. Now, why is prayer needed? Why is prayer so important? Prayer is so important because prayer brings us back to God. And prayer causes us to remember who God actually is. And who we are in relation to God as His children, and what all creation is in relation to God as in the hollow of His hand. God is the sovereign one. God is the one who holds everything in the palm of His hand. And God is the one who's working all things according to His loving, gracious, eternal purposes concerning you. His purposes are to bless you. His purposes are to glorify His name through your salvation, through your living out of Christ, through the salvation and the joy of the body of Jesus Christ. God's purposes with us are good purposes. That's why He says to us in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Those are my thoughts. You may think I have other thoughts, but I tell you in my word, I have thoughts of peace towards you and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So I don't need to worry about the future. God's purposes are good. He's the sovereign one who's carrying things out just as He ordained them in love for me in eternity. Not only is He the sovereign one, but He's the faithful one. He's all wise. He knows better than me. He simply calls me to trust in Him, and He's always good. How liberating that is. I don't have to be anxious about anything. God commands me. He says, don't be anxious. Stop being anxious. It is foolish. It is sinful. My judgment will come upon you for being anxious. I am God. I am your Father. I am your friend. I am your Redeemer. I loved you before you even knew me. I loved you while you were still against me. Do you really think that I would for a moment be against you when I have longed for you and I have breathed after you from eternity? I loved you in Jesus Christ, and nothing can separate you from my love. Look at the cross. That's the kind of God I am. A God who would go myself to the cross so that you might have only unspeakable joy if you would but trust in me. Walk in my ways, and I will show you how I can bless you. Open your mouth, and I will fill it. Isn't it so often the case that we become nervous and we become anxious and despairing? Exactly at those times when we know we haven't been fearing God as we ought. We haven't been walking with Him. We haven't been talking with Him. We aren't trusting in Him. Our relationship with Him has not been what it ought to be. We've not been praying. Not truly praying. And because we've not been praying, we've lost sight of who God is. As the one who actually loves us every moment. That's why we get anxious. And then there's no peace or satisfaction we experience in our lives either. Prayer is so important because prayer puts us in communion with the one who is God Almighty who loves us. And in prayer, I experience who He is as that God who loves me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I see God as the one who's full of tender mercies. I talk to Him. I walk with Him. He's my friend. He's my best friend. Sometimes He's my only friend, but He's the perfect friend. I lay out my requests before Him, and He is sympathetic towards me perfectly. He never turns me aside and says, instead He says, I am glorified when you lay out your burdens before me. I take pleasure in that. It brings a smile to my face. He delights when I cry out for His help and His strength, so that even in the midst of my anxieties, when I am being worried, I can experience this. Father, as I am anxious and as I am striving to cast my burdens upon Thee, and it is hard, and I'm not doing it, and I need to do it, keep me in prayer, keep me on my knees, keep me going so that I can cast these burdens upon Thee. Even as I'm doing this, I know Thou art being glorified, and that is my joy, even as I have these anxieties. Forgive my anxiety, O Lord, and give me peace. Show Thyself to me. Cause me to taste Thy goodness. Congregation, it is so good when we can fall down before the Lord on our knees with an open Bible before us, and we feel that all our confidence in ourselves is shattered. That's glorious. When all your confidence in yourself is shattered, that's where you need to begin. Every day again, that's where you need to begin. Because when your confidence in yourself is shattered, then you can begin to build on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. Then you can build something that is made of gold and silver and that's not made out of hay and straw. then you can actually begin to be a faithful steward of what God has given you. You can actually be responsible with the things God has entrusted unto you. When I am strong and I feel strong in myself, that's when I'm about to fall. And that's when I'm weak. But when I'm weak in myself, that's when I'm strong. Because my strength is not found in myself. My strength is found in Christ and in prayer and in God. And that's what prayer does. It brings me back into that proper relationship with God. He is God. I am His child. I am His creature. And I must look to Him. And so the text says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's strong language. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In absolutely everything, congregation. Your prayers need to include those things that are very, very personal. Very, very intimate. You need to open up the deep and hidden recesses of your heart. And bring it before the Lord. And the words in verse 6, prayer and supplication, requests, emphasize that our requests are specific. We need to be making definite, specific requests. Remembering that there's nothing too great we can bring before God that He can't accomplish. And nothing too small before God that He's not going to be concerned about. In everything, in all my desires, in all my work, in all those things upon which I've set my heart, bring them to God. Don't go to your neighbor and make your complaints to him. Well, truly, we need friends. God gives us friends to bear each other's burdens. We need counselors. We need a multitude of counselors. But don't complain too loudly to others about your needs or desires. God says, bring them to me. And don't mull everything over in your own mind, choking yourself with your own worries. Rather, bring them to God. He's got everything just perfectly planned out as it needs to be carried out. And Paul says, when you pray, do it with thanksgiving. Whenever you pray, give thanks. Give thanks because you know that God is the God who has promised that He will turn things out to your advantage. Give thanks for that. Give thanks because you know that God is entirely trustworthy. That God is doing exactly what He wants in your life to accomplish His beautiful goals. Give thanks that God tells you that there's going to be an end to your trials. Give thanks for past mercies and for leading you this far. Give thanks for past mercies that are going to be the foundation for future blessings. Give thanks because you know that God will supply you the power to endure through the trial as you seek His face. Give thanks because you know that even in your sufferings and as you're exercising humility and it is hard, God is using that not only to glorify His name, but He's using that to make you perfect, to establish you, to settle you, and to prepare you and mold you ultimately for the glory and the dignity, the place He has for you in heaven. And the proper attitude is this then, to pray this way. Lord, assure me that Thou art the God who has a purpose in everything that Thou doest. Lord, Thou art the sovereign God. All these situations in my life right now, this is Thy doing. Thou hast a good purpose. Help me to pray accordingly. Shape my petitions so that I honor Thee. Lord, I thank Thee that my trials in life are not in vain, but they will be used to honor and glorify Thy great and glorious name. There is nothing superfluous. There is nothing unnecessary about where I'm being led now. But all these things are necessary for the honor of Thy name, for shaping me, keeping me in my salvation, shaping me for perfect glory. And what is the promised result then? God says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's the result of praying. That's the result of casting your burdens upon the Lord. That's the result of giving thanks, no matter what it is that you're praying about. He gives you peace. What kind of peace? It's the peace of God. And what is that peace of God? Well, it's the peace that passes understanding. But God's peace is God's own absolute serenity and tranquility. God's peace is the fruit of God's own knowledge that everything He has purposed and willed in Himself will be perfectly realized. God's peace is God's perfect absence of fear and turmoil and unrest, perfect absence of frustration and bitterness. Everything is well with God. He is perfectly content because He's God and His good pleasure is always done. And peace for us then is having that same assurance that since God is our God, we too share in God's own serenity. We too have no reason to fear, no reason for turmoil or frustration or unrest. No matter what our circumstances, this we know. Our God is in control. He calls me to be responsible. He calls me to be a steward. He gives me callings. But He is in control. He will lead me. He will do what is right. He will do what is good. I do not see His purposes, but I trust they are good because God is good. And one thing we should see is this, when we pray and pray with thanksgiving, it's not as if those problems are going to be taken away from us. Those problems might still remain. That responsibility might still be there. The responsibilities might seem to get heavier. The problems might increase. But you see, that's not the issue here. The Apostle Paul doesn't focus on that here, does he? The problems, the trials are not the issues. What is the issue? The problem and the trials are not the issue. What the issue is where my heart is at and where my mind is at. And when I pray unto God, my heart and my mind are brought back to where they need to be. I need peace, and that's given to me. And what is important is also this. I want to mention this just briefly because I think it's very powerful when you look at the passage. But I touch upon this just briefly. Medication is not going to give you this kind of peace. Worldly psychologists and therapists are not going to give you this kind of peace. Drugs, prescriptions from the doctor are not going to give you this kind of peace. There's a place and there's a time for medication. Medication can help us to get stabilized when we need to be stabilized. Just as for our physical body, so also for the relationship between our body and our mind. God gives us a place and a time for medication. But this is the reality. You want actual peace? You want a peace that is going to protect and guard your heart and guard your mind? You want a peace that verse 7 is talking about? The peace that transcends man's understanding and man's explanation? The reality is you will only enjoy such peace, true peace, if you bring yourself before the face of God and you see who He is in Jesus Christ as your God. And you can ask Him for deliverance and you can confide in Him all the while giving thanks. Thanks for the fact that He is God He is your God, and He does all things well. That's the peace that's experienced through true and honest prayer. And we know that peace. Sometimes it is fleeting. Sometimes it is very hard to come by, but we know that peace. That peace that comes through Jesus Christ alone. It's the peace that's in store for us in eternity in its fullness. And we get a foretaste of it already now. And that peace itself, the peace we enjoy through constant fellowship with God, is a peace that will protect our hearts and our minds from anxiety and from worry. Prayer itself is what protects us from anxiety and our hearts from worry. So the encouragement is to pray. Pray, beloved. Pray for the crops. Pray for the cows. Pray over the bills at the kitchen table. Pray as you're driving to work. Pray concerning your relationship with your coworker. Pray concerning the children. Pray concerning all the challenges and struggles you face. No matter how insignificant they may seem, God delights in it. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep. It's only a matter of faith. Will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, strengthen our faith. Thy promises are beautiful. Sometimes we say to ourselves they are too good to be true. Father, forgive us for underestimating Thy love, for underestimating Thy goodness. We live in a world, Father, where there are not many who are good to us. And even when they are good to us, it is small. But we thank Thee, Father, for Thy goodness. Teach us and lead us to confide in Thee. Strengthen our prayer lives. Protect our hearts and our minds. Use the preaching. Use our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Use all the doctrine that we know in the Scriptures to make these real issues in our life, to be born faithfully, that we might respond accordingly and honor Thee. Thank You for prayer. Hear us. We thank You for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.